I didn't really plan, we didn't plan, to have the texts and even the hymns that are appointed for today, the second Sunday in Lent, have so much to do with buildings, with a house that is forsaken, with a city that has been prophesied against and will be left desolate. That's not intentional. I don't know that it's God's hand either. Certainly is a coincidence. But it should cause us to, well, pay attention to the text even more carefully. Look at the psalm for today. Zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Now, I could fully see somebody who is committed to the Northwest facility or the Central facility reading that text and saying, zeal for this house has consumed me. That's why it must be the place where our church shall be into the future. But if that's the case, then you're missing the point, no matter which side of the aisle you might be on. Because the point is the reproaches of those who reproach Christ. It is not zeal for a building that Christ says when he speaks these words, but zeal for the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit in his flesh and blood, which is the final and total temple of God for the salvation of all mankind. The question is not what building we shall be in, but what words shall we hear? Shall we attend to the words of God about Christ for us, or shall we actually believe that the facility matters more than those words? Now, I certainly, myself, when that psalm goes on, pray as I think about the congregation and the trials we've had over 20 plus years of decline. Oh God, why do you cast us off forever? But even this is not about a congregation that can't quite pay its bills. This is the prayer of the people of Israel in exile, when they had been made all but a slave people, taken out of their land and put into a ghetto in Babylon, wondering when they would get to have the sacraments again, because for them, they could not have the feast days, what we call the Lord's Supper, what for them was Passover. They couldn't really have it unless they had the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. So we're nowhere near this situation, although the Spirit is true. O Lord, why do we suffer? O Lord, why is it not the way we would have it be? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Why is it, O Lord, that it would seem you have not given us growth? And the good kind of growth, growth in our knowledge of Christ, growth in the number of those who are baptized into that truth and remain so. And so the prayer says, remember your congregation. That doesn't mean just one small congregation. That's a prayer for the worldwide church of God on earth, all Christians in every place. Oh Lord God, remember that you have bought us. You've purchased us of old. You've redeemed us to be the tribe of your heritage. People who walk about with the blood of Jesus covering us. And so we are truly set apart from the world, different than all those that are out there, because we know our sin is paid for in the wounds of Jesus of Nazareth. And so we beg the Lord, direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. For them in Babylon, this is saying, God, go back to Jerusalem, where it was smoke and ashes and destruction. Go back there and reestablish the covenant and promises of old. Where the enemy has destroyed the sanctuary. For them, their temple had indeed been entirely torn down before their eyes. And they're begging God to build it up again. So also today, that is my beg of God. Not that he would build us a building, but that he would build us up as a people so confident in the resurrection of Jesus that we are able to go wherever we must go, and confidently so, continue to speak that to others. I said to the early service, so I ought to say it to you as well. I'm rather convinced that one part of our jeopardy at the moment, one part of our decline over the last however many years is not that people didn't talk about mission enough. I'm pretty sure it was a bit of a repetitive statement from the pulpit. Mission, 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 do it, do it, do it. I believe the word is outpost, if I'm not mistaken. But what I do think has been lacking is not the talk about the mission, but the understanding of what the mission is. And so far as Scripture would teach us, the mission, before it is anything else, is that you as an individual would be unafraid and able to declare that you believe Christ is risen from the dead to another human being, whether they know it already or not. So I want you to sit back here for a second and ask yourself, when was the last time that wasn't Easter Sunday that I said he is risen to another human being? We should all be condemned in that, right? And I'm not saying this to get you to go out and do it now. I'm saying this is what we must repent of. That if we want to have a congregation which grows, then we must believe that thing enough that we would say it, enough that it would be what our minds live from. The enemy destroys the sanctuary when he removes those words from our lips. Now, I'm going to run us right into Philippians here for just a moment. We're going to skip over verse 17, Paul saying, imitate me. He's basically saying, imitate what I'm about to say, right? He's not saying, take my haircut or something like that. But he says, beware of this. Verse 18, notice. He says it with tears in his eyes. There are those Christians who walk as enemies of the cross. People who claim to love God and love his church who are against the word of the cross. Now, I don't want to call out any one of you individually, but I want you to know that in the world today, there are those walking about claiming to be for Christianity who are against it. And this is not new. It has always been here. We should not be deceived in this. We should not assume that because someone has the word Christian or Lutheran on their door, it means that you go in and you're going to hear the text of Scripture pointing to Christ crucified preached for you. It won't happen. And if you don't believe so, I invite you to visit a few other churches in town and listen. Take notes. Listen for the name Jesus and the word sin. You won't hear it often. There are those who walk as enemies of the cross. The end of that kind of faith, faith that is not rooted in the word, is destruction. It means you only serve your interests, your belly. As you consider your vote today, are you thinking about your interests or the word of God? The glory then becomes their shame with minds set on earthly things. And that is the great jeopardy for us today. But the truth, and notice how he shifts. He shifts to proclaim to you a greater truth. There's no if, then, maybe, make a decision. It's a fact. Your citizenship is in heaven, from where Christ will come, because he is your citizenship. We await the Savior Jesus, who is in heaven for you now, who will come again to transform you physically in this lowly, dying body you have, to transform that to be like his glorious resurrected body, by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Because of that resurrection which has already taken place, which you know is yours in baptism, which you know is proclaimed to you in the absolution and just straight up in the preaching, because of that, you are equipped to walk through all fire and flame, all suffering and trial. There is nothing that is greater than that word. And so again, I am astounded at the next verse. My brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown. Do you see it there? Stand firm. I picked that phrase for you last year because I know it's what we need to do, to stand firm upon the word of God, no matter what else may come. And doing that, there's nothing for us to fear. The decline is over, my friends. We have Jesus in our midst, strong and able to save in every trial and tribulation. We need only take care of our earthly business wisely, and we will stand firm here in Rockford for many, many years to come. What I can't believe is that that phrase is here, appointed by the lectionary for me to preach to you today. What a joy. Your God is watching out for you, St. Paul Lutheran Church. Your God is on your side. Who can be against us? In the name of Jesus,
Amen.